This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
2.6 to go. Pajemski catches midcourt. Takes the runner. Good if it goes. He banked it in! He banked it in at the buzzer! Brandon Pajemski with a three ball. And the Warriors will go to the locker room leading 60-47 at the break. Pajemski crossing half court. Let it fly. He made sure that he got it off quick enough. Give it a chance to go in. And Pajemski with a 22-point first half.
Dub Nation. It's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah, Tim Roy. If you got a problem with that, then you can talk to him about it face-to-face in about 10 minutes.
That was an evisceration sensation from Tim Roy.
Very nice.
Unnecessary.
Very nice. Voice of the Dubs, Tim Roy, is going to come on by. We're just outside Shea Center. Warriors and Nuggets in a Sunsplash Perfection Friday.
It is.
Day in the Bay.
Well, just an
absolute perfection.
Yeah, eventually Lucas got there. And now I'm going to have to mention to Tim Roy, I'm going to have to call back his call of Kevon Looney's first career three the other night. Oh, yeah. Oh, how about that, Tim? Yeah.
That's
okay.
That's not nearly as fun.
Oh, because my picks stink, but
no, because that's whatever. Calling out someone else's mistake.
Oh, and when I make a bad pick, is that not a mistake, Mark?
That's different. It's not a factual error.
Okay.
And by the way, it would only work if Tim was always, like, out in public going, like, you know what I'm great at? I'm great at telling you factoids about Kevon Looney and then just gaffing on it.
California you play-by-play broadcaster of the year.
You call yourself Nostradiblis.
Because I can see the future.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Your picks stink.
Well,
anyway.
You know, to be somebody who actually puts himself out there at that level
here
is courageous. And, you know, we can hide behind our live reads and, you know, have no real, like, accountability, and that's okay.
I got
but
it.
But, you know, I'm out there. No, I'm not afraid to be out there and make my picks. And, you know, if all the Warriors and Coach Kerr and Tim Roy want to come down my road, come on down.
They do.
It's a four-lane highway.
Yeah.
Come on down, Bob Barker.
Yeah. I'm glad that you keep using the phrase out there, because that's whatever people are like, hey, man, what's Dibs like? I'm like, he's out there, man. But anyway.
Yeah, opinion. Afraid to share opinion.
888-957-9570. This is where we'll get back on the same page. We haven't done a whole lot of this. We talked a little bit about it in the crossover. What are your thoughts on watching Luka Doncic play basketball?
Well, there are a multitude of thoughts.
Okay.
On the one hand, you watch what he's able to do at that size, that speed, that overall unimpressive athleticism, and I think, my God, he's incredible. It's
right.
A little bit like Nikola Jokic, where Jokic is not He's not explosively fast. He doesn't jump very high. He might be the best basketball player in the world, and it's safe to say that he is. And so there's a part of that for me with Luka that's in place. The other side of the coin, Mark, is the constant flopping, the complaining, the just general demeanor of, like, I don't know if it's unhappiness, but just the way he goes about playing, it's really not appetizing. It reminds me of when my dad, every, I don't even know how often, maybe it would be like every 4 months, he would say, you know what, tonight, liver and onions for dinner. What? To me, Luka Doncic is liver and onions. Some people might like it. I personally, makes my stomach turn.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bad comp because liver and onions is not necessarily that healthy.
Like, I guess
it's a tough watch, bro.
It really is, and I don't want to say that and have it the day after the game come off like it's some sort of Laker hating or like, you know, coming from fandom. Because let me tell you, there are NBA players around the league I really enjoy watching. Okay, I really enjoyed watching the Nuggets play the Wolves the other night. I enjoy watching Anthony Edwards play basketball. To a degree, even though it's kind of wonky and weird, I enjoy watching Nikola Jokic play basketball. I really like watching Jason Tatum play basketball. There are a lot of guys around the league who I can appreciate.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook, for example.
Anyway, there are guys around the league where I'm like, that's not my team, that's not my player, I'm not rooting, but I can appreciate what's going on here. The weirdest non-discussed story of the year in the NBA is that the Lakers, quote, got over on the Mavs, and now Laker Nation, entertainment capital of the world, has found their guy for the next decade. That's your guy?
Right.
This lumbering, whining, fall-away three-point shooting, non-dunking, non-defense, palms up, official conversational, that's your guy?
Right.
You've gone from Magic to Kobe to LeBron.
Right.
To this.
Agreed.
And you're trying to sell us that that's your guy? What are we talking about? This is the least entertaining basketball star in the world right now, by far.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Laker fan is just trying to, like, make themselves feel good about LeBron's age or the fact that Anthony Davis is good, but kind of like not him by himself or whatever. Yes, you have a good basketball player now on your team. And I guess the opportunity for him to be on your team for a long time. His presence alone says nothing about championship contention. Just because he went on one run last year with Kyrie Irving by his side, now that, like, it says nothing about championship contention, but it says even less about entertainment.
Agreed.
I just don't understand.
Well, I understand it because he's a really, really good player, but you go from showtime to slow time, in my opinion, and that's what Luka is.
Yep.
And, you know, even Jokic, for example, the other night he had 61, 10, and 10, and he is phenomenal. He can score,
right.
He can pass, he can rebound, and Luka can do all those things, but the way he goes about it is really off-putting, and this is my feeling before he even became a Laker. Now that he's a Laker, it's even more cemented because I don't like the Lakers, but even when he was a Maverick, I don't like the way he goes
Same.
About
yes.
the demeanor, the body language, the constant complaining, and the rest of it, and so you make a good point about the lineage, because when Magic Johnson came into the league, in 1980, and he was Rookie of the Year and Finals MVP. It's like we had never seen a player like that. And I'm not old enough to remember Oscar Robertson, but for me, Magic with the charisma, the smile, the no look, everything that Magic brought was like, wow, this guy is incredible. And then Kobe, singularly one of the best individual scorers we've ever seen, and he was a forever Laker. And as much as I didn't love Kobe, because as a Warrior fan, you hated him because he was a Laker, the dude was phenomenal, rest in peace. And then LeBron, not an original Laker, but the lineage from Magic to Kobe to LeBron, 40-something years of wow, NBA wowness. Like Steph Curry, entertainment-wise, is top five all time, whatever you want to rank him. As an entertainer, he is unlike anything we've ever seen. And Luka, he's not that. He's a great player.
Great player.
But he's not entertaining. No, he's just a tough watch.
I just thought the dichotomy was on full display last night. And as a Warrior fan, you feel so good about the fact that Steph Curry is your guy. But even the other players who are out there, even LeBron James and Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga, and there's so many things going on that floor and the glitz and glamour of that kind of a matchup. And yes, I know it was a bad night for him statistically, but for me, it went beyond that. It's not the stats, it's the look. It's the look. And I think it's wild that Luka Doncic is the guy that fan base has suddenly decided, okay, now we're good. We're good for another 10 years of A, contention, and B, entertainment. I'm like, I see neither.
Yeah.
Neither.
Oh, and not even winning. You know, like, you can see LeBron, and he's come in, and he's been a winner and all that and the rest of it. And so, yeah, LeBron, pedigree, entertainment, elite. Luka Doncic, pedigree, no. Elite, yes. Entertainment, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Yeah, I'm not into it either. I appreciate his game, but I just wish that Luka would, you know, put the head down and just comport himself in a different way.
Well, maybe he should comport himself like this guy, because this is true professionalism, and I find it entertaining every single night, whether it's on a drive home or around town when there's a Warrior game on. Our good friend, the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, stopping by the set here at Splash as we get ready for a big night. And I'll ask you the same question as you join us here on the River Islands guest line that I've asked just about every Warrior employee that I've run into today. Are you okay? Did you find your home all right? Jeez. Like, holy crap, what
right.
a trip.
Goodness. I've got my two bags are still in the car. I haven't unpacked yet. Okay. And I'm on my, like, 25th cup of coffee today.
Oh,
so
God.
It's like it's a morning radio day, put it that way.
How many different hotel rooms did you not locate when you were in fill-in-the-blank city and you went to hit the button in the elevator and you thought, first of all, where am I?
Yeah.
Second of all, what's my room number?
It only happened to me once on this trip.
Oh, not bad.
That's not bad. Oh, it's really, really good for me. Yeah, because the other thing I've started to do is I rip the back of the envelope off where they write the number down and put it in my pocket. And then,
smart.
Yeah,
that's a veteran right there.
That's next level.
417. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. the only saving grace of that is when you go to the front desk, happens all the time. You know, so you're not alone.
Right.
But it's it was a rough one. I mean, you know, this is probably the worst part of it is coming back and right away having to play a game. I mean, that's just it's insane. But you know, it is what it is, and it was overall a good trip. Didn't start the way they would have wanted, but it ended the way exactly they would have wanted.
No doubt about it. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and we're hanging with Tim Roy, voice of the Dubs here outside Splash, as we are a couple hours away from tip-off yet again, Warriors and Nuggets. Tim, what did last night mean to this team, you think?
I think it was just a further validation of the moves they made and the impact of those moves, and it was a game where, I think on the post-game show I said, the Warriors were in control of this game, where if they had beaten the Lakers earlier in the season, I think you would have said, oh, that's kind of an upset, right? It didn't feel like an upset last night. It didn't feel like an upset in Memphis. It felt like the Warriors were as good or better than those teams. And I got to tell you, the trade of Luka Doncic to the Lakers worked out for the Warriors in this sense, because the matchup they didn't have an answer for in L.A. was Anthony Davis.
Yep.
And last night when Jackson Hayes went off the floor, they immediately started picking on Luka, and it was a free pass to the rim. And so they really, I thought, were really intelligent how they attacked them last night. And like I said, I just thought that they were in control, and I think as the game wore on, I think they felt they were the better team.
And they sure looked like the better team, and you talked about control and going to the rim, and I couldn't help but notice Jonathan Kuminga playing a different brand of basketball, not only more under control, but rebounding ferociously, heady passing plays. What'd you see from Kuminga last night in what we all kind of thought was his best game of the year?
I think it might have been his best game of the year, and I thought the game before he played well. It's almost as if the anxiety in his game has started to dissipate. And so by that I mean he's not hurrying to make a move. He's not trying to do something, driving into three guys and trying to get a shot off. He's reading the play, he's seeing the floor, and he's making the right plays. And that's going to make the game a lot easier for him. And I think the other step for him, it's not going to happen this year, it's going to happen in the offseason, is that if he can work on his free throw percentage and take that from the mid-60s and get it up to the high 70s, he's going to add 6 to 8 points, you know, on a lot of nights, because he gets to the free throw line. He's an athletic freak, and people have trouble matching and guarding him. So, you know, with, and especially the fact that you have Jimmy Butler on the team, so you're already flirting with the bonus. So if he can improve his free throw percentage, I think he's got a chance to really take a step forward.
Look, it's not lost on the entire organization that for whatever reason, Jonathan is a very polarizing individual for fans. He gets talked about at a level that is, quite frankly, above anybody else on the team. Steph Curry addressed that last night after the game by saying, look, we got to just chill and let him play basketball. But what I want to ask you, especially because you're around the team, like, do you think that gets to him? How much he gets talked about?
Oh, I think any young man likes to get talked about, you know, whether in school from schoolmates or in this situation. So I think he understands, you know, where he is as a player, but I don't think it really affects him all that much, just simply because there's enough chatter inside the organization. By chatter, I mean coaches who are reminding him, hey, you got to do this, got to do this, you got to work on your game, work on this. So I think there's enough communication inside the building to where the outside noise, you know, and the, you know, everybody said, well, I don't hear it. They do hear it because they have friends and wives and girlfriends.
Yep.
And so they do hear some of that chatter. But I think it kind of goes away a little bit once they get inside the building, because they have other people who are trying to get them to focus on the task at hand and not worry about all the other stuff.
Brandon Pajemski last night just absolutely went bananas, and that first half was crazy. And we played your call earlier of the, he banked it in, which is one of my favorite Tim Roy isms, because if you're not watching it, you don't know that he banked it in, and then you let us know that he banked it in, and that shot in that first half from Pods, what did you make of just the way he went about that whole night?
I just think that it's such a remarkable turnaround for him. In the first half of the year,
yes,
totally different player. Again, he had anxiety in this game. You know, he was trying to do too much. He was trying to, and again, now I think when Jimmy Butler comes around, it adds a little comfort to him. Butler makes plays for other players, so he kind of fits into that mold, and I think he's much more relaxed. He's letting the game come to him. You could tell he's working on his shot. I don't think that was a one-off, him making 8 threes. So I think you're going to see him use that shot to his advantage throughout his career. So, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be a splash brother. We don't know yet, but that's remarkable for a guy in his second year to be able to shoot 8 threes like that. And it's not like he's got a funky emotion or anything. He's got good form. You know, he's on balance. He's got his feet in the right spot. It's just, it really looks good. So I think that's something that we can look forward to in the future, him contributing a lot from the three-point line.
Well, and I tell you what, and you know this, I mean, those of us who do sports radio every day, we sort of get made to feel foolish almost on
hold a night. Hold on.
Yep.
They're playing a Bill Withers song.
Uh-oh.
We have to, you know,
okay.
Step aside.
Pay respect. Yeah,
exactly.
Pay respect. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So...
Sorry.
Now that we got that. But we come in after a game like Memphis, and we're going, man, late in the season, role players struggle on the road. Playoffs, role players are going to struggle on the road. And so I was kind of thinking that might be a thing that the Warriors need to deal with. And then you go to the glitz and glamour capital of the world on the road in a huge game, and role players totally show out. So that kind of like moxie that they had last night, how sustainable?
I think it's more sustainable than a normal situation because, again, they now have those guys are playing on the floor either with Steph Curry or with Draymond Green or with Jimmy Butler. And having those guys on the floor, you know, any combination of those three on the floor at any one given time, that's going to settle down a role player. Because what happens? Jimmy Butler, even when he's not shooting, how much attention did he get last night? Even when he's not shooting the ball, he's making plays for other guys. Steph Curry has his incredible gravity, and Draymond makes plays. I don't know if you saw the play he made at the end of the first quarter, but that was unbelievable what he did, where he got post to switch to the corner guy. He comes up, gets Kuminga to switch. So now when they do high screen roll, it's Draymond on Reeves, nobody else, and he forces him into an end of quarter air ball.
Yep.
I mean, that's high level stuff right there. But anyway, so the other guys, I think, are more comfortable because they have that veteran presence around them. Guys that, you know, you got three potential Hall of Famers right there.
Is that something that we underrate as fans, the idea of Draymond as the conductor? And, you know, we all look at the late game where he shuts down LeBron without fouling. He strips Luka off the ball in a game-changing play. But all the other little things, is that something that fans need to be more aware of, Tim?
I think what happens is because he's so fiery, because he's always talking, he's always into the game in a big way with his antics and everything else, that people focus on that. And they don't watch for his defensive brilliance. And I remember early in his career, there was a play, I can't remember which team it was, but Draymond and Steph were involved in a pick and roll. So now you had a good big being guarded by Steph down at the box. The guard being guarded by Draymond hesitated for a second. And Draymond took one step back and he grabbed Steph's jersey and threw him back up on the guard and negated the switch. And I was thinking, who thinks of that? Who in a split second makes that decision to do that and gets away with it? But he does, because he sees stuff, you know, he knows where the first pass is intended to allow the second pass to get into some good action. So by that, I mean he's ahead of what they're trying to do. And that's why he's one of the best defenders ever to play. Probably going to be Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
And he's going to be the rare Hall of Famer that doesn't have big scoring numbers.
Tim Roy, voice of the Dubs, is with us here live on set just outside Splash. Warriors and Nuggets tonight.
What a beautiful day, by the way.
95.7
The
Game. Are you kidding me? Yeah, right? How great is it?
This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is cool.
I mean, it's just perfect, except for I want to go back to where we started. Like, you're not a professional athlete, but I got to imagine that they feel a little bit like you do, right? Like, what kind of energy do they have for tonight?
Well, we'll see. You know, we've got Peyton, Butler, and Steph are all questionable for tonight. And so, you know, if they're not firing, the medical team will make the decision on that. And so, you know, I'd be surprised if all three of them played. But, you know, I think the other part is that they're a little younger than us, you know?
Yes, they are.
They got young legs. And
in better shape.
And in much better shape, yes.
And they work out.
And I can remember, you know, you go back to college, and you remember you're on 5 hours sleep, and somebody goes, hey, you want to go to the gym and play pickup? Sure, let's go. You know, you go and you run it out and catch up on your sleep later. So, they're pros, too. They've been through this kind of thing before at some point. Most of them have anyway. So I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be all right. Once they get up and down the floor a couple times, I think they'll be fine.
Can I follow up? You're surprised if all three of them will play. That's an interesting statement.
Well, I just think that you know, to me, GP is kind of day-to-day. Draymond, and you know, let's look at this in the big picture.
Yeah.
If they lose tonight, but then again, and win some Sunday, win Tuesday, and then, you know, set up the final game of the year is maybe something for position.
They're in good shape.
They're in good shape.
Yes.
And I think the fact that they have the tiebreaker on Memphis, they have the tiebreaker on Minnesota, that's a big help for them. And thanks to, unfortunately, Russell Westbrook put the Warriors in a position. They could have waved goodbye to Minnesota. But,
seriously.
But it just happened that way.
Layups are hard, Tim. I mean,
they are hard. They
especially
are hard.
When you don't need to take them.
So don't take them.
Right.
Exactly. Please, just stand there.
Yeah.
Just sit down on the court anyway.
Just say no to unnecessary layups when you've got the ball and the lead.
And don't foul somebody at the buzzer. That's
there is that.
But so I think the Warriors are in a really good spot right now, and they're in a really good headspace. So maybe giving somebody a day to kind of recover, you know, and then have 2 days before the Houston game, you know, that might not be such a bad idea.
Yeah, not bad. And although the temptation is, you know, with a win tonight, you do have a chance for the three and maybe even the four. It's no longer out of the question. I was telling Mark earlier, February 7th at the deadline, you were tied for 10th. And we were all thinking about, well, if you could just get to 8, maybe it's just only one play-in.
Yeah.
And now we're sniffing around maybe 3 or 4.
I remember, you know, before the deadline, and you guys were talking, and as everybody was, all the speculation as to who they're going to go after and what kind of a move they're going to make, who they should bring in, who they shouldn't bring in. And of all the moves that were made, other than maybe the Luka Doncic trade, this trade by Mike Dunleavy engineered, and I think it really helped that he was a teammate of Jimmy in Chicago. I mean, it's just made the Warriors a much better team. Everybody, there's a belief around the team now that wasn't there before, and I kind of going back to the Laker game, you know, I think before they would have hoped to win that game.
Yep.
I think they went into that game thinking, okay, if we play well, we're going to win this game. And so there's a definite belief through this team, and Jimmy is the main reason why.
Okay, what about other matchups? And we keep doing this when we talk about the Western Conference. Put Oklahoma City aside. If the Laker matchup is now different for them, and I think we all agree that it is, what about this team tonight? Do they still have a matchup problem with this team?
Well, everybody has a matchup problem with Jokic, okay?
Sure,
so that's
number one. It's kind of more about Gordon.
If you go and look at the Warriors' games against Denver, and they've lost, what, 9 in a row? So I would guess that there's at least 3 or 4 of them in there that you would say, oh, the Warriors gave that one away.
Yep.
You know, the 18-point lead here, Jokic throws up the prayer at the end. The one here a couple weeks ago where they should have won, and they came out flat because nobody was playing for Denver.
The Utah game when everyone got traded and they all were sad and they blew the lead?
Yeah, that kind of a game. But against Denver, I think they've had a number of games, the game in Denver this year, where there's a scramble at the end and Brown calls timeout. They don't give him the timeout. And you know, but the Warriors shouldn't have been in that position. They should have been ahead by 8 points or 6 points at that point. So I think that matchup's not as scary as the one loss record would indicate.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, it sort of feels like they've arrived at a spot where I don't see any matchup out there that's not at least going to be a long series. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think the Warriors are much better built for a playoff series than a play-in game. And if you go back and look historically at their playoff series, they tend to get into a playoff series, maybe lose a game early, and then they make an adjustment, they get better, they clean some things up, and at the end of the series, they're clearly the better team.
Yeah.
So I think that's something you could put in your back pocket. Of course, you know, you can't have any of these grade school referees over here.
No, you can't. Oh, you know what? Yeah, look what this guy brought to the show. Can you believe this?
Wow.
Hey, what did you think of the whistle?
That's a nice jersey.
What'd you think of the whistle last night? What'd you think of the whistle last night?
Right.
And I ask it because of this. We've had a lot of conversation. I thought there were a few games going back the last few weeks. The one in Brooklyn, certainly the one in Memphis,
where things were
completely ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
With the way that they were handling Steph Curry. There's a larger issue there that we can talk about. But we made a big deal out of it for 2 days. And then last night, I thought, a lot of people got star treatment last night. I thought Steph did. I thought Luka did. What's your overall thought on where that stands right now?
I think they're letting him play a little bit more. And I think kind of going back second half of last season, I think they're getting back to that, letting the players dictate more. I don't think last night was a bad game at all. I thought they let him play. And you know, the charge call. Again, it's one of the hardest calls
in
sports.
About the Moody dunk?
Yeah, I thought he got most of his body by Reeves and just clipped him a little bit. And to me, that's a block if you're not right in front of him. So, again, I quibble on those.
You don't ask me my thoughts.
No,
I thought it was garden variety charge.
I know you have that
we
signed.
We all want the poster.
I know you have a signed.
Called,
he has a signed
correct.
Poster of Monty McCutcheon in his office.
Zach Sarba on my ceiling.
Dan Dibley looks at a call that gets overturned and says they were right to call it the right way the first time, and they were right to overturn it.
Yeah,
he thinks they were right both times.
I think, for the most part, I think the referees do a really good job. I just question a couple of the things they're being told to do.
Yeah.
You know, like on the offensive end, I think if I lean my shoulder and bang you out of the way, I don't think that's fair to the defense if you're in a legal guarding position, right? And so that's the main issues I have with the officiating is how we're officiating games, not the officials themselves. They're going to get some things right and they're going to get some things wrong, and it's just the way it is. It's always been that way.
Yeah.
And I thought last night was pretty good, to be honest.
And I do think that last night they called the thing that Steve Kerr is most passionate about, which is the freedom of movement stuff against Steph. Steph got a couple of those
where he's trying to cut
off the ball and he's getting grabbed, and they actually made those calls. So that for me last night is where the Warriors did get the kind of whistle that they're looking for and the whistle that they should get.
You know, and the coach who actually started using that phrase back when they had meetings way back when, his coach, I believe at the time of the Celtics, was Rick Pitino.
Oh.
Talking about freedom. They were in their meetings and he said, we got to get freedom of movement back into the game. And that's how that issue started way back then.
So. And it's funny because his St. John's team this year was big on restricting freedom of movement. I don't know how much Red Storm you watch, but they were big and physical and unskilled, and that's why they ruined everyone's bracket, Tim.
Okay.
There you go.
No,
don't get me wrong.
I don't get enough chances to watch college because if I have the luxury of watching a basketball game at home or on the road on an off night, it's got to be an NBA game. I got to get ready for the next one or see what's going on somewhere else. And so I used to follow college a lot, but not anymore.
Well, when you're watching other games, you know what that is, right?
It's work.
It's a preparation sensation is what it is.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
We have to get one in there,
thanks,
right?
Thanks for coming by.
Always good to see you guys.
Nothing's
wrong. Nothing's wrong.
Tim,
it's a beautiful
best.
Day out here.
It's spectacular.
Tim Roy, the voice of the Dubs, coming by.
I had to get one in there,
you
right?
You did. You snuck it in. It was a buzzer beater. It was a buzzer beater.
Like pods from 40.
Exactly.
Yep.
Off the backboard. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Tim Roy stopping by as we get ready for Warriors Nuggets. I'm pretty interested to hear Tim say, quote, I'd be surprised if all three of them play tonight. He's referring to GP2, Jimmy Butler, and Steph Curry. And maybe he's just talking about GP2, but let's be real. Tim probably knows some things that we don't about what's going on inside the organization.
Right.
And if that is kind of, I don't want to say the philosophy, but I share what he's saying that the Warriors probably think, which is, look, put your best foot forward tonight, but if you don't get that one, and then you do get Sunday, and then the schedule loosens up for you next week, San Antonio and the Portlands of the world, and you can handle business then, you're in pretty good shape.
Yep. And I was going to follow up, and he wouldn't have been able to answer it, but I'll ask you, because it is a speculation sensation,
sure.
But I was thinking about which of the three won't play. You got Jimmy with the arm. You've got Draymond, who hasn't really had a break in a long time, and Steph with the back-to-back on the same possession, tailbone ouchies. So which of the three do you think would be most likely to not go tonight?
Gary Payton the second, and then the next one is going to be Jimmy Butler.
Of the three,
And then the next one is going to be Steph Curry. I think Steph's going to play tonight. I think Butler is probably a true question mark. He has an actual injury.
Yep.
They do not think it's serious, but I wonder. He has largely played, even more than Steph. He played all those games on that road trip, and he tried to shoulder the load on his own for the first two games. And so, yeah, if they feel like they can sneak a little extra rest for him in there, try to win the game tonight. But if you don't, it's not some sort of a death blow. I could see that happening. And obviously, we're going to get word on this real soon. Steve,
yeah.
When is Steve going to talk here, Grandy? He's probably talking here pretty quick, right? It's 5:20 right now.
Yeah, he's probably just close to starting or wrapping up in a couple.
We'll keep our eye on the reporters who are in the room because I'm sure that we'll get some sort of information, even if it's just, hey, we're going to send them out there pregame to warm up and then kind of check in on it. But that's how I'd rank it.
Well, and I like the ranking, and I don't think you're wrong. And the other piece of it is that Draymond Green needs to play 3 of the final 6 to qualify for Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, then he will.
Well, he's got to play 65, and he's at 62 right now, and you got 6 to go. So if you do want to give Draymond a rest, and I don't think that that's a bad idea, tonight's not that night. You've got the Joker. You've got Gordon. I don't know if Porter Jr. is going to go. Even if he doesn't, Denver is a very tough team to defend. You need the best defender in basketball to do that. But I also look at, you know, Draymond Green maybe getting a game between now and the end of the year just to, you know, gather his breath, because he's played a lot. Like you said, Steph missed a couple. Jimmy Butler's missed a couple. Draymond hasn't missed anything.
No, but you remember what Chris Mullin said, and he joined us earlier. You can download the Odyssey app, go to YouTube if you want, and dive in to the conversation with Mully, because it was great. And I was struck by something he said about the rest that this team needs right now. We can all see it, and they can speak to it, but what he sort of said was, look, when you're in this situation, you do mind over matter, and you realize that the rest the Warriors are going to get, that comes during play-in week. You have to put everything that you've got on the table right now to avoid the play-in tournament, and just keep telling yourself that rest is coming. The rest is coming. It's not now. Don't do it now. You're going to get rest. Today's Friday. 9 days from now, the Clippers will play a day game here.
Wow.
And as soon as that game ends, provided that you take care of business this week, you will then get a whole week off.
Yeah, exactly. Because you probably, if you're in the playoffs, you probably won't play until the Sunday, because they want the marquee teams and the marquee players in the marquee spots. And so, yeah, if you're the Warriors, you get done with the regular year, and you will get that full clean week. And so Draymond right now, he's pushing. He hasn't had a day off since the end of January. I know they had the All-Star break, but other than that, he's played in every single game.
Let's go back to the studio to our director of sports, Lucas Alexander, who has this Warriors update.
Yeah, you guys were asking when Steve Kerr was going to be speaking. He's speaking now, and the quote is, I'm hopeful they'll all play, but we'll see. So Steph, Jimmy, and GP2, all game time decisions are going to warm up, and then they'll determine.
I'm hopeful they'll all play. So nothing definitive.
Yeah.
But head out on the court and warm up. I do think, look, like if somebody was in some serious doubt, I don't see why Steve wouldn't say that right now. That's interesting, though, the words that he chose.
Right, and I do think that, for me, the biggest question mark of the big three, and GP2, we don't know if his thumb's going to be good enough to go or not, but Jimmy Butler left a lot of that second half with the forearm strain or whatever the official diagnosis was. The fact that he wasn't able to play, and then all of a sudden he came back in and he gutted that out, for me, he'd be the most likely of the three. For Steph, he only played 34 minutes last night, which is about his normal workload, and, you know, he's in that mode that Mully was talking about where, you know, you're not thinking about rest. You got your head down and you're grinding. And Draymond Green, also 34 minutes, he knows what he's facing. He's got Jokic, 3-time MVP in the building, and he knows if he's not out there to guard him, then who will?
Well, I'm also mindful of what Steve said to us last time he was on, and he was telling us a story about Jimmy Butler. Remember the game that he missed in Philadelphia on the road a couple of weeks ago, and the Warriors went out there and lost, the Quentin Grimes game. That was back when we were like, who the hell is Quentin Grimes?
Right.
Turns out he scores like 25, 35, 40 points almost every night now with everybody else with the Sixers hurt. But anyway, the Sixers won that game over the Warriors. And at that point, Jimmy went to Steve as they're walking off the court and said, Coach, I'm sorry. I don't want to miss any more games. I cannot be missing games as we go down this stretch. So I keep that in mind in a situation like this. Yes, maybe the right thing to do is to miss a game. I bet Jimmy Butler, though, fights to play.
Agreed. I mean, we're down to six games to go, and we all talk about playoff Jimmy, and Steve Kerr says these are playoff games. Well, if these are playoff games and you're playoff Jimmy, then you're going to play. And if it's a forearm strain, and I think it's his left forearm, not his shooting hand. And I thought that's what
sure.
it was.
I'm not sure.
I could be wrong about that. But
it's his left.
Left, okay. Yeah.
So it turns out I am right. And
nobody called you wrong.
Ding. You made a noise.
I did.
You
I'm
made
allowed
a
to
noise.
Make a noise. The noise was not, you're wrong.
The noise was,
God, you're a sensitive mother
not
bleeper.
Not sensitive at all.
Jeez.
I'm putting it on the
make
table.
Make your point. Somebody special's on the line.
The point
Good
is,
God.
If it's his non-shooting hand, he's more likely to go out there and play. And I thought it was his left, and I was right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lucas.
Yeah, okay.
Confirmation.
Man.
Yes. Is that so hard?
No, it's not.
Yes.
Nobody said otherwise. When you go to bed tonight, are you going to be like, ooh, ding. Just let that ding roll
yes.
over my shoulders.
Yes, when you've got a show
Man.
Where the majority of the people with whom you work are against you, you have a
well,
chip on your shoulder.
That's in your brain. You want to talk to somebody who's not against you?
Depends who it is.
I bet you'll like it.
Try me.
All right. Hey, Curtin Hayward Hills. How you doing, brother?
Wait, it's a boy. In the Bay Area, the Willard and Dibs, you guys are the best brothers. Hey, what about the Lakers? What about the Lakers? They stink. They stink, the Lakers. What about Luka? He's not ever going to win a championship, ever. Bottom line. What about the Warriors? Now you better agree with me. That guy's terrible. You saw him last night. He looks like a lost puppy out there.
He's a little runt, Kurt. That's what he is.
Well, he's not a little runt, but he's a crybaby. He's a crybaby. We see him on Dallas, too. He did the same thing on Dallas. Hey, anyway, let's talk about tonight's game. We need everybody on board tonight. And that's for sure. And number one, let me tell you something. Who in the NBA is going to beat us in a seven-game series? Nobody, boys. Nobody. You know why? You got the greatest shooter in the world. You got Jimmy, all-around elite player, and you got Green, the best defensive player in the league this year. They should give him the trophy right away. Right away.
Kurt, are you calling a championship right now?
Listen, I'm calling the championship weeks ago. I told you this team is on a mission. Jimmy never won a championship. They're on a mission. Curry looks like a young stud again. You got Kuminga. Hey! What about Kuminga? Now we're talking about Kuminga. He's coming back, and he's, like I said, electrifying player. He makes months and wide mistakes, but we need him to win all the rest of the games. Listen, I said 3-1. Imagine if we go 4-0. Hey, that's not a great question.
I mean, it's not out of the question.
They're allowed to.
Yeah.
They're allowed to.
What about the big guy on Denver? What about him? Well, let me tell you something about him. He's a great player, but he can't speak any English at all. They interviewed him, and he couldn't even speak English.
What
he should go to school for English.
Okay.
First of all, I mean, Kurt, we love you like a brother, but
oh, yeah.
I think Nikola's English is A, fine, but B, even if it wasn't, what's that got to do with anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Green's got to listen. What's got to do with anything? Because we're in America, brother, and you got to know English.
Kurt in Hayward Hills. There it is.
There it is. I mean, Kurt, I mean, I know you're a fan of all of the teams in the Bay. I think that they're a bit like, I don't know, do you like Jung Hoo Lee in center field?
Jung Woo Lee.
Yeah, Jung Woo Lee.
Get him out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah, no,
get him out of here.
This is, you know what? I love you, but this is your first bad take. This is a bad take, Kurt.
No, it's not, brother. I'm telling you where it's at, brother. All the way to Warriors, all the way.
Okay, all right. Hey, Kurt. Kurt, what would you say about 2-2 on Gauntlet Week for the Warriors? A 2-2 record. All right, Kurt.
Get out of here. All right,
thanks, Kurt.
First yellow card for Kurt.
Yeah, I love
that. That's a classic yellow card.
I will never not love Kurt, but I am not joining him in all athletes must speak perfect English. I'm not joining him on that
one. We may have to suspend him for a week.
That was a tough take.
It's a yellow card, Lucas. Yellow card caution.
That's at least a yellow card.
Yeah.
That's yellow with shades of red.
You know, yeah, especially because he doubled down.
We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, Kurt.
Yeah.
Next Friday, you get the day off.
Lucas, what do you think?
Spring break for Kurt.
Is that straight red? Straight red, you miss the next match?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. We got to give him a week off.
Two studs up on the tackle.
We got to have a little integrity on this show.
The tackle was late, and the studs were up, and the ref thought about front pocket.
Wow.
And he went to the back pocket.
Yeah, he sure did.
Kurt, we love you.
Yeah, we do.
And we'll see you in May. Not the Isles. We'll see you in early May.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So Steve Kerr says.
Yeah,
Steve. No, forget Luka. I'm done with Luka Doncic. It's just not a fun basketball player. But look, people are in front of us streaming into the arena tonight for a big game. And we got to turn the page from last night and look at tonight. And Steve Kerr says hopeful on Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and GP2. So that leaves a very, very large question mark about what kind of effort the Warriors are able to put forward tonight. I mean, look, I'll just say it this way without knowing even who's going to play yet. I was beyond impressed with what the Warriors were able to achieve last night. Based on what we know now, I would be even more impressed if they're able to go out and win this one tonight.
No doubt. I mean, you look at the stack of games, and last night was a, quote, scheduled loss. Game 6 of a 6-game road trip at L.A. primetime, and they were rested, and you won. Well, now, second half of back-to-back, Denver was here last night. They watched the game on TV. They might have actually been here at Splash watching the game on TV. They were here. They're rested. They didn't play their players in the game before that. And even though you're home, and I'm not seeing a lot of Nugget jerseys. In fact, I haven't even seen a Nugget jersey.
No Nuggets.
Great home crowd. And the Warriors are riding high off a good performance. But, yeah, we don't know if everyone's going to play. And it's a tough game. But you look at the final six, and of the remaining six games, this one's probably the toughest of the last six.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, all things considered, you're probably right. I know Houston Sunday.
Yep, and you got Phoenix on Tuesday.
Phoenix, which is in Phoenix.
Correct.
Then back here for San Antonio the next night.
Yep.
Friday in Portland.
Correct.
And then back here for the Clippers Sunday.
On a 12:30 matinee tip-off.
You can't play with my yo-yo. They go home, road.
Home, road.
Well, no, after tonight. Right. It goes home, road, home.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
But all of it is, in this part of the country, Phoenix and Portland. I'm not saying it's easy, but...
Sure.
And the beauty of it is maybe you get to Phoenix on Tuesday and they are ready to shut it down. Portland is interesting because they're playing all 82. They're playing like they actually still want to win games, which I admire. And then the Clippers game 82 here on Sunday, 9 days from now.
Could mean a lot.
Could be the six.
Might mean nothing.
Right.
Might mean nothing.
I hope it means something, because if it means nothing, if the Warriors and the Clippers already have their seed sown, then no Kawhi, no Steph, no Draymond, no Jimmy,
right.
No Harden. Let's make that game matter.
No,
it'd be fun.
Pajemski with us here on 95.7 The Game. Can you spell Brandon Pajemski?
Oh, God. No, but I'll give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
I mean, you know there's at least one Z in there,
you're
right?
You're a good sport. I knew you'd give it a shot, Mike.
Okay, we're going to go P-O-D.
Yep.
Z-E-M-S-K-I.
Oh, you left out one letter. It was so close.
I before E.
Is there a C that I'm missing?
No. I before E, before the ski.
Yeah.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, well, well. I think we started this show by saying today's kind of special.
It's a special day,
Mark. Today's a little bit different.
Yep.
And, the Warriors have an opportunity to make this a real, real day to remember. Just down the street from where we sit, the San Francisco Giants just completed an 11-inning, 10-9 walk-off victory on opening day over the Seattle Mariners, courtesy of a two-out, two-run single by Willie Adames, the brand-new guy who, by the way, if you've watched that game at all today, you know it was a nightmare game for him. I don't even know if I would call these errors, but he had a lot of hot shots hit to him at shortstop that he couldn't handle. He was getting real frustrated with himself. And obviously, of course, it ends with him sending a base hit to right field and winning the game, and the Giants are off to a 6-1 start. And now everybody's going to flood out of that building and head straight for this one, because we know a whole lot of people who had tickets to both games.
Yep.
And man, with this weather and these results and what's going on with these teams right now, they don't make them like this, brother.
They don't.
They do not make them like this.
Many Giants fans who were at that game thought, all right, Giants game, baseball now is about 2.5 hours. That'll be done at 4. I'll get a couple of hours to pregame. Yep. Go see Willard and Dibs. And I do see some Giants jerseys here.
No doubt.
At
lots
Thrive.
Of them. Lots of them.
And, here at Splash. And I actually talked to a couple of fans who were at that game and they left it a little bit early. And maybe they're regretting it, because this is the most runs scored in a Giants home opener since 1983.
Damn.
A guy by the name of Mike Kruko got the start in that game.
And clearly did not pitch well.
He only gave up 4 in 1 1/3.
that's not good.
The Padres put up 8 in the 5th. It was San Diego 16, the Giants 13 at the stick. And this one was kind of similar. And I was looking at the line score as we were going, and I do think the two teams combined for more than 30 hits.
Is that so?
I think so.
Good Lord.
I looked earlier and it was like 8 runs on 16 and then 8 runs on 15.
And we'll hit the little ding thing too if you're right, because
I know
you get very, very hot and bothered about this kind of stuff. What number did you say?
I thought more than 30 hits.
That's correct.
Guess. Yeah,
32.
It felt like it.
32. The Giants had 17 hits. The Mariners had 15.
Yeah.
And here are the Warriors with Nikola Jokic in town and coming off of what I think is the win of the year. And I know we said Wednesday morning that that was the win of the year, and I believed it. And now I believe that last night was the win of the year. By the way, I will still think last night's the win of the year, even if they win tonight, because home versus road and all of that stuff. I think that they needed to make that statement in that building, and they did more so than they need this. But man, they're on a heater right now. The Giants have started things off on a heater. Life is good.
6-1 5 games out. Right. Life is good. And this little stretch of land, and, you know, Giants fans are bebopping out of that building. If you're going to have a 4-hour baseball game, you want a 10-9.
Well,
you don't want 4 hours and 1-0.
No question. And you texted me actually about 20 minutes ago and said, this game is drunk.
And totally.
And I've been looking around and I'm like, so's everybody else. I don't know if you can. That's kind of what I'm getting at. It's that kind of day in the Bay, whether you did it there, whether you did it here, whether you did a little bit of both. This has been an absolute perfect Friday. It just needs a nightcap, courtesy of the Golden State Warriors.
It needs a nightcap.
I like that.
And we didn't get the night last night, and you were right to say that there was never that moment of like, okay, now we feel good. And I talked about it earlier where Warriors up 5, 30 to go. Draymond gets the ball back off the inbounds, and he turns it over. And so they didn't score, and then the Warriors got fouled. But Draymond turns it over, and if the Lakers hit a three, now it's a two-point game.
Yeah.
The Lakers kept pressing and pressing and pressing, and I think you're absolutely spot on about win of the year, because you beat New Orleans, yawn, it wasn't pretty. You beat San Antonio, yawn, they stink. Make it feel real. And when you come out and you beat a Laker team on the road, that's real.
That's real. That's real. And again, we started the show with this. We'll kind of end the show with this. For me, I come into today's show with two words on my mind. I'm convinced. I am now convinced of everything that the Warriors have kind of been selling, everything that we've been hoping for, I think is the better way to say it, that this is meaningful basketball, that this could go somewhere special, that they are on the level of all of the other teams in the West. I truly believe it right now that that is where the Warriors sit. We also want to update you on our 95.7 The Game Twitter page and Twitter poll. Engagement is everything on the court and in life. Vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. We're going to do this before every game, and as you know, it's game night. It's all presented by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. So we asked you earlier today, with the end of the regular season near and the postseason picture beginning to come into shape, other than the Thunder, which team in the West poses the biggest threat to the Warriors? Your voting options were the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Lakers, or other. And I'm actually a little surprised at how very firmly clear this poll is. 82.5% of the votes said it was the team that the Warriors are about to play, the Denver Nuggets. I think that's shaded a little bit by what the Warriors did last night.
Yeah, agreed.
Kind of knocks the Lakers down. But the Lakers came in at 8.3%, the Rockets 5%, and 4.2% of people hit other, or they hit the wrong button on accident.
Exactly. And, I mean, other would be Memphis, I suppose.
I guess. I mean, Minnesota. I mean,
The Clippers, right?
Well, Clippers have a little thing against the Warriors.
Yeah.
We got no answer for Zubac.
You don't. Zubac. For me, it was really Nuggets or Lakers, and I do think that the recency bias of what happened last night swings a lot of people to Denver, and let's be honest, Denver's won 9 in a row in the regular season, 12 of 13. It's been complete ownage, and the fact that they did it last time without Jokic and Murray, Aaron Gordon, great player, Bay Area kid, shout out Archbishop Mitty, what he did to the Warriors in that last matchup, and they did it all without Jokic, that to me made it more obvious in the poll that Denver was the answer.
Yeah, and I do think Denver is the answer, and I don't think we're going to get necessarily a great snapshot of where this whole thing sits tonight. You know, Tim Roy sat with us and said, if you go back through these 9 in a row that they've lost to the Nuggets, there were a lot that were really, really close. Could have gone either way. You could argue at least one or two of them. It's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
A Jokic half-court fall away at the buzzer, and he beats the Warriors.
And so, the loose ball foul on Kuminga,
right,
on the jump ball when they want a timeout.
Right, it's not like they're not right there, but then again, most basketball games are close, and that's what separates teams, is how they perform in the final 3 minutes of a basketball game, and the Warriors have been much, much better at that since Jimmy Butler's arrival, but tonight, with the fatigue setting in, we still don't have confirmation on Steph, Jimmy, or GP2 tonight. I don't know if this is the perfect snapshot, but I do think they want to continue to validate what they're doing by at least holding up and having a very competitive game tonight.
Should be, and you know, depending on who actually is good to go and good to play, I do think that you get this late in the year, and it's adrenaline. Yeah, everyone's tired. Draymond said it a couple weeks ago. We're all exhausted. You got 6 games left to go. If the Warriors can win 4 of the 6, including a win over L.A., you're going to avoid the play-in.
No doubt about it. All right, man, here we go. And we're going to hand it over to Mark Grandy, who's not only going to handle Warriors live, I'm very confident is going to have some breaking news somewhere along the road as to whether or not Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler are playing in this basketball game. So I would keep it locked right here. If you're on your way to the Warrior game, or if you're on your way home from the Giants game, this is the place to keep it, because the great day in the Bay keeps on rolling. Warriors and Nuggets are coming up in exactly an hour. So Grandy is
is next with Warriors Live. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Warriors Live is presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. And that's exactly what we're about to do. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I'm busy.
Okay. How about the day after that?
I think Sunday I'll listen to you nationally. Okay. You do such a nice job.
I appreciate that. What about Monday?
I cannot wait till Monday, Mark.
I will probably have face paint on.
Yeah.
Blue. All right.
And gold. Blue and gold.
Let's do this, man. Warriors and Nuggets tonight. Thank you so much for all of your ears and eyes and comments throughout the week, and especially today. We very, very much appreciate it. Tim Jordan, thank you for excessive work today.
Tremendous.
And, yes, and good luck to your wardrobe. All right. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.